It's time for Sporting Across with Willie Hallahan as we kick off the 10 o'clock hour. SportingAcross.com is the website. Willie blogs there. He also lists all the different fundraisers that are somehow, some way associated with sports and sporting events. It's a stretch sometimes, but they're there, and we welcome in Willie every Sunday. Hey, Willie, how are you doing?
I'm great, Marshall. How are you doing?
Not too bad.
Good.
Inhaling and exhaling.
Yeah. That brings up something I want to get to maybe after I go through our events. As I've been saying every week, there's not a lot going on, but things to talk about. The first couple of things, I'll call it a tale of two races. There are two running events that are upcoming, and they've taken different tacks in trying to deal with the virus challenges. One is the Norfolk Pub Run. That's a 10-mile race, road race. I've talked about it before. It was originally scheduled for December. They postponed it because running races were banned in Connecticut. I didn't realize this. I spoke of it last week, but I verified it that in November, Governor Lamont banned them. So they postponed the race to the end of January, January 30th, thinking that apparently they got word that there might be a reconsideration of that somewhere in the middle of January. Apparently that hasn't happened yet, but the race is still on for the moment. Another race, and that was like 22 years that race has been going on. The longer an event has been going, the more reluctant anybody is to cancel it just because of the history. So that's a long time race. It's still on the calendar, but we'll see. And Greystone Racing is organizing that. Now there's another race in Litchfield, the Bob and Peg Andrulis Sweetheart Run. That's been going on for almost 20 years. It's scheduled for February 13th, and they just decided to turn it virtual. They just weren't going to deal with the ups and downs of maybe it'll be allowed. They just decided to do it virtually. They just decided that a couple of days ago. They have not come out yet with the details of that. Once you go virtual, that it changes everything, registration and so forth. What I found, by the way, when a race goes virtual, you'll have people showing up at the place where the race is supposed to be run anyway. They don't come in a crowd, again, because of maybe the tradition of running it for years and years and years. They don't want to break with that, so... instead of, if it's a 5K, instead of running out their front door and running the 5K and saying, okay, we ran that race, they'll go to the site. This happened during the Turkey Trot in Goshen. People show up, not at the same time, but they'll run the course. And that's perfectly fine. It's no different than jogging out wherever you live. But it's a way to stay connected to the event As we know, Marshall, everybody's doing what they can. There's a new event coming up. It's a six-week program sponsored by the Northwest Connecticut YMCA. It's called the Reset Challenge. It's free. It goes for 6 weeks. It uses a combination of in-person programs and virtual. The Ys are open, of course, with all kinds of limitations, but you can go. And it's a way for people to start getting fit, stay connected with other people, and you text the phone number. I won't read it on the air because probably nobody has a pen, but you can go to my Sporting a Cause website and find the number you can text to sign up for that. And the other next piece of big news, Marshall, is that Jump Fest is on.
Yeah.
Jump Fest 2021. It's February 12th through the 14th. And... this is, speaking of longevity, this is our 95th year. I should note it started in 1926, and it's not 95 consecutive years. We've been jumping for 95 years, but they took a break during the World War II years, so there's like 4 years there that they didn't jump. But basically, we've been jumping for 95 years, and it's on. And like everything else, there's going to be all kinds of changes. Some of the things will be the same. There's Friday night lights or Saturday and Sunday jumping. Those programs, those days are still on. but there will be some changes. One of them is, and this is kind of a good news, bad news kind of thing. The good news is that there'll be Friday night lights. That's Target jumping under the lights. The bad news, and not so good news, is that we will not be holding the human dog sled race. We decided that just wasn't a good idea, just because of proximity. There's so many ways people can distance themselves from each other. Ski jumpers, of course, can. The crowds can. But in the human dog sled race, you're kind of bunched up together, and we just decided, sadly, that we couldn't do that. Another bit of good news is that Friday night we will not be charging admission. Friday night is free. Another change, a restriction, if you will, is that we will only be letting 400 people in the facility each day. Friday night, 400 people. Saturday, Sunday, 400 each. Now, when people leave, and they often do, I mean, if a family of four, with two children come in, they might stay for an hour and a half, the kids get cold or whatever, and they leave. Well, then we can let more people in, but you know, there's a challenge to that. So if you want to come to any of the 3 days and you want to guarantee you get in, you just get there soon enough so you can get in. And that's the best we can do. You know, you can hang around and wait for somebody else to come out so you can get in, but, you know, that's kind of the way it has to be. And the 400 is pretty much based on 25% of our capacity. Their protocols. And by the way, Marshall, thank you. We had a conversation before, and I'd asked your advice, and you made phone calls. You've got connections that nobody else in the world has, and you were able to aim us in the right direction to find out who to talk to find out what we had to do. And you did that. It ended up being the Torrington Area Health Department is a place to go, and we connected with them, and that's how we've come up with our program to date.
It's one of those things when we had to reopen the bargain bar and everything like that, even though I followed all the state protocols before I did anything, we checked with them just to make sure, because we didn't want to do anything wrong. And from what I hear, from what I see what you're doing, you're following all the rules that they have for outside events. So,
yeah. And we'll have inside, if you will, we'll be having signage. We'll have people wandering around to make sure people are wearing their masks and all that kind of thing. For people who have been there before, you park in the field, our parking lot, and you walk in down the road to the facility about halfway down, a couple hundred yards or so. That's where we've had the ticket booth. You get your ticket, and then you continue on in. This year we'll have the ticket booth out at the end of the driveway where Bullet used to stand, and so we'll be better able to control who's going in and out, because there's a narrow road there, and we can see very well there who's coming and going. Going back to the good news, bad news thing. The bad news is that only New York State jumpers can come this year. They're the only ones who can come into Connecticut without the whole quarantining thing, so that eliminates our jumpers from New Hampshire and Vermont, maybe a couple from Maine, but the New York State jumpers can come, and that includes Lake Placid. The good news is that there's what they call a development team that's been practicing at Lake Placid this year so far, and these are jumpers, elite jumpers from all over the country who formed a team. I don't know how many of them there are. But they're going to be coming to Jump Fest. So although we have a smaller field, potentially, the quality of the jumping that you'll see when you get there is just going to be extraordinary. You're getting the best of the best for sure. And both Saturday and Sunday, the Saturday jumping will be the Salisbury Invitational, as it always has been. And Sunday will be the championships, and the junior national team will be named after that. So some of the things are the same. Some of the things are different. Like everybody else, we're muddling our way through. There are still details to be determined, like how do we What do we do with people if they've come after the 400-person limit's been reached? Do we send them home? Do you wait in your cars? If you do that, how can we let you know when it's your turn? You know, there's some of those things that, and they may not be. There may be nothing we can do. I don't know. We're all breaking new ground here and trying to find our way. So we'll do the best we can. Try to keep disappointment to a minimum. We're thrilled that we're still able to pull this off. And as always, as we do every year, we pray that Mother Nature is in our favor. Sometimes she is, sometimes she isn't. But we'll see what happens, Marshall.
Now, you also are going to have food trucks there this year, right?
Yes, we are. Yep. We're not opening the cook shack, I guess, for
too many people close together.
So we're going to do food trucks. I don't know which ones they are yet. Those will be determined. And so that's different. Thank you for bringing that up. And we'll see what happens. It'll be fun. We'll make the most fun out of it that we can. And I think that people who have been restricted will feel like they can safely go to an outdoor event, especially when the number of people are restricted. I think they're going to be eager to do that because there's so many things we haven't been able to do. And I will have the bonfires like we always do. Just don't get, pack in too close to them, and we'll do the best we can. It should be fun. We're counting on that.
It's pretty easy to social distance, and even if you can't social distance and you want to pack around a fire, well, then just put a mask on and while you're hanging around that fire. And most people wear, be quite honest with you, wear face coverings anyways.
When it's isn't that the truth? Yeah. Your face stays warm when you're breathing, sort of against yourself, And speaking of masks, I guess, if I can segue into the next thing, I just wanted to bring up, Marshall, because you're a sports fan, and as I'm sure you've read, the CIAC, the governing high school sports body in Connecticut, has decided that there could be winter sports for high schools, but kids are going to have to wear masks for when they're competing. And boy, I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to, and I don't mean to be a downer here. From everything I read, every high school kid and their coaches are just thrilled at the possibility of being able to play at all. But I wouldn't want to be a basketball player running full tilt back and forth down the court and having to wear a mask too. That's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, and it's funny. The CIAC has gone back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, they have.
And back and forth, but now they do have. It's not all sports, okay? It's not all sports. What you should do, if you're going to look at this, go to the CIAC website. They'll explain what sports and can only practice, and what sports can go out. But the bulk of sports that normally happen in the wintertime can happen. There's things like wrestling, cheerleading can't happen. Mm-hmm. You can only practice.
Yep.
So just double check, even check with the high school, your high school, if you're in New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and see what sports that they are going to do. Because I know it's been hard for the students, the student athletes, and the coaches, but also the athletic directors. It's been just a crazy thing.
Disappointment reigns for sure. Tell me this: does the CIAC also regulate whether crowds can go, or is that the schools individually determine that?
That's the state. They'll have to follow. Like if you're going to have a basketball game or something indoors, it's going to definitely be anywhere from 25 to 50% capacity, as long as you have 6 foot spacing amongst people. So that's another thing that's up to the schools, but that's by state mandate. That's going to be for a. By state mandate. There's so many different things, you're well aware, that just, I'm sure when the school announces the sports schedule, they'll announce about attending and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, it heartens me, and I've been, because I follow it all the time, CIAC, they had a tough job, and you're right, they've gone back and forth and back and forth, and maybe they had to, I don't know, but it certainly toyed with the emotions of young people along the way. But it heartens me to see that they're finally doing this and allowing sports to be played. It's going to be the risk is worth the reward, I think. When you can do it safely, these kids have to play. They just have to play.
They do. It's part of the overall education process that makes a high school rounding out complete, where people, learn and also learn to interact with other people and enjoy sports and recreate. So it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Yes, it will. Light at the end of the tunnel, maybe.
That's right. Maybe. Just hope it's not a train, as I always say.
There you go.
All right, Willie. SportingACause.com is the website. Willie, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you, Marshall. Look forward to it. Bye.